We thank you for his power. We also thank you, Lord, that it brings direction and correction to our soul. And as we talk about the importance of our words today, Lord, we would ask that we would have ears that would hear and that we would apply these truths to our life. In Christ's name, amen. For whatever reason, there's a song, it's not quite a worship song, but it's a song I grew up with, and there's a poignant phrase in it. So I'm going to have you sing it with me. All right, you'll know it. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word and the skies are not cloudy all day. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Now, how did you know that song? How many of you said, you know, I'm going to memorize Home on the Range, you know, because it's going to come in handy one of these days? We're seldom heard a discouraging word. Wow, that's not the world we live in. Maybe it's a home on the range it is, you know. Oh, it's my prayer that your home is filled with encouraging words. And for sure, the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be a place filled with encouragement. We're going to be studying in Proverbs this day the issue of the power of our words. 150 times in the book of Proverbs are the issue of words. In fact, I want to encourage you this. If you want to go to an advanced class on how to use words, here it is right here. I actually have it printed out. You got New American Standard on one side, New Living on the other. And here's what I'd like you to do is specifically highlight those passages that deal with words. There's 150 times it's mentioned in the book of Proverbs. All right. There's all kinds of classes we go to. When I lived in New Zealand, that you had to take a class for everything. If you were a rancher and you had a quad runner, you had to take a class of how to ride it. If you had a chainsaw, you had to take a chainsaw class. Why? Because people are always sawing their arms off with chainsaws and rolling over. And the way that New Zealand figured out how to eliminate or lower the amount of accidents, they said, well, let's have a class on how to be safe. The only class I had about my words was probably from my mom, my parents. And my mother would say, hey, think before you talk. Think before you talk. And so I know I could actually find that wisdom within the book of Proverbs. Book of James says, though the tongue is small, it sets on fire, it is set on fire by hell. With the same tongue we bless the Lord and we curse our friends. Tells us Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 to 21, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the produce of his lips. And get this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you realize the power you have of death and life, and it comes from your words? I was not a great student. I mean, both my parents were teachers. My grandpa's got a principal in the school named after. I mean, I've told you this before, but it's tough growing up in a family where both your parents are teachers. There's no place to hide. And so basically this, I had teachers actually write, you know, had to write down, God, this is the most apathetic student I've ever had in my life, you know. And so here's the brainchild of whatever administration was. Let's put all the apathetic kids all into one class. And then whoever teacher, that has to be Superwoman or Superman, you know, who's got to motivate these unmotivatable kids. So that was my third and fourth grade years. And when I came home with a D in math, man, there's no place to hide. So my mother, who was a teacher at that school, went to the principal when they, because well, here's what happens at schools back then. They have draft choices. Next year, they go, okay, we got the fourth graders going into fifth grade, and who wants little Jimmy, and who wants Gary Zeke? Well, I don't want him, you know. And so he's hard to motivate. So anyway, my mom goes to the best teacher in the fifth grade, Mrs. Burnett. That's where all the bright kids went. The kids you don't have to motivate because they're motivated. They show up motivated. She said, I want my son in that class. And the principal said, yeah, but he's a daydreamer. He's unmotivated. Please put him in that class. It changed my life. Because I remember then I was with other people that, hey, I guess I'm supposed to be motivated, you know? Okay. And then Mrs. Burnett, after a history project, she comes to me, and with my team, we got an A. It was something about the missions and stuff like that. She says, you know, Mr. Zeke, I think one day you're going to be a very fine history teacher. Oh, yeah. Words have power. The words of life. Are your words typically words of life, or are they the words of death? Born in Ukiah, moved to Bakersfield because my dad taught visually handicapped students, got a job there. Then we moved back in 1969 to Bakersfield, just as I was going into junior high school. So in the sixth grade, I was quite I was quite somebody. I was the captain of the flag football team. So I go to Pomalita Junior High School in Ukiah, and for whatever reason, they did not send my transcripts saying, hey, this guy was the captain of the flag football team. So there, the coach decided, in an unenlightened fashion, that he was going to have two boys pick teams for basketball. So there's the two guys. I still remember their names. You know, I grew up with them. And they're picking, okay, I'll take Jimmy. Oh, I'll take Fred. And there was three of us left. And I'll never forget these words. The guy says, you take all of them. None of those guys are any good. That was me. I'm still scarred, you know. You know what I mean. Those are words of death. You know, when your name is never called when choosing sides at basketball. So we grow up with these words, right? And you either grew up in a family where those words were affirming and, hey, you're going to make it, so on and so forth. Or you're in a marriage where the words are, hey, we're going to make it. You know, hang in there. We're going to get through this. Or their words of death. The great king of Israel, David, says these words in Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable or pleasing in thy sight. He goes on and says in Psalm 141:3, O Lord, post a guard on my mouth. God set a watch at the door of my lips. Even King David, who loved the Lord and walked with the Lord, had a heart of a man after God's own heart. He prayed, oh Lord, put a guard on my lips. Why? Because our lips are words bring either life or death. The Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, when he starts that chapter by this, says, I beg you, as a prisoner of the Lord, I entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Do that with humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance, and doing all that you can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Okay, so that's the litmus test for your words. Humble, gentle. The word gentle there in the Greek language is the word for holding a baby. Right? Gentleness. Right? Patience. Forbearance. That means putting up with other people's nonsense. Right? And then doing all that we can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So are my words going to add to unity, or are they going to break unity? All right. Here's what it says in Ephesians 4, later on in that chapter. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Let me stop there. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. Yeah, if you feel like being edifying or you feel like being crude, you can do whatever you want. No, it says, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth. None. Why? Because it doesn't line up with walk in a manner worthy of your calling. It doesn't line up with humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance and unity. So don't let any corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good for and necessary for edification, that means building up, that you may impart grace to the hearer. So our words, according to Ephesians, ought to be edificate. The word edifice, that means building something up. Are my words building up, or are they purposely there to tear someone down? Friends, that's what sarcasm does. And I can tell, I can be very sarcastic. Why? Because I like it, and I'm good at it. All right. You know what the word sarcasm means? It means literally the word flesh eater. Right? That's what it means. My dad's can be very sarcastic. And he and I have talked about this. And so part of it is this, is that I've got to line it up to this. Let no corrupt word proceed from my mouth, but only what is good for edification, building up, and that which imparts grace to the hearer. Yeah, but pastor, if you know what so-and-so said to me, well, we'll get to that in a moment. All right. I wonder if the Bible answers that question. I bet it does. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All right. That's pretty all-encompassing. James gives us an example. I mean, it's quite a long passage in James 3. Dear brothers and sisters, let not many of you become teachers in the church, for we who teach will have a stricter judgment. Okay. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control the tongue, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go whatever way it wants with a small bit. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever it chooses, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes great speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body, can set your whole life on fire, for it's set on by the fires of hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, fish, reptiles, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil filled with deadly poison. Sometimes it praises the Lord our Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so, blessings and curses come forth out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out of this fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or grapevine figs? No. You can draw You can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. He's saying, James said, man, you're going to need supernatural effort to control your tongue. Amen? So if you're not interested in controlling your tongue, that's set on fire by hell itself, that's what it says. Man, you're going to, not only will you be a whirlwind of badness, but you're going to reap it yourself. That's what it says. You wonder what Peter says about it. Peter, I love Peter, because he didn't think before he talked sometimes. And he was learning. So here we have it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 11. Don't repay evil for evil. So now that's the question. What if someone says something nasty to me? Well, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That's what God has called you to do. And He will grant you His blessing. For His scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work at maintaining it. Yeah, but Pastor, if you know what? I didn't write the Bible. It says, do not return curse for curse, insult for insult. It says, here's how you do it. You bless people or be quiet. Bless people or just be quiet. If you want to read more about that, man, read. That's what the book of Proverbs says. Soft answer turns away wrath. Yeah, but here's my chance to get a real dig in, you know. It's just pride, friends. It's just pride. God says, if you bless in return, I'm going to bless you. Now, that sounds pretty good to me. I want to be blessed by God. I want my family to be blessed by God. I want any endeavor I'm involved with to be blessed by God. I want my church to be blessed by God. And here's what's going to happen. It's going to be because we control the tongue and we turn it over as a vehicle and a tool that God can use. I bet Jesus had a lot to say about this. So let's read a couple verses. Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 to 37. A good man brings out his good treasures. What is good? Evil man brings out his evil treasures. What is evil? But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an account for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. For sometimes we think the only thing I can do to protect myself is to lash back. Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 to 12. Jesus called the crowd and said, listen and try to understand. It is not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. Now, why are we studying the book of Proverbs? Because the book of Proverbs is the promise is that we may be wise, and in our wisdom, we bring greater glory to the Lord, and it promises blessing to our life. But according to the book of James, there is no greater challenge that we have living our lives than controlling the tongue. Now, here's some reasons why our words are important. First of all, because of the sheer quantity of our words in our lifetime. Okay, I'm not a big reader of novels. I like to read history, all right? So I'm currently still walking through the history of Sea Power written in 1917, you know? Boring to most of you, I realize, but for me it's intriguing, all right? And after that, I'm going to reread a book by Friedman called The Next 100 Years. But no one really cares. Because most people are reading Tom Clancy, and Tom Clancy, you know, he's thrillers and stuff. And in a Tom Clancy novel, about 700 pages long, there's going to be between 500,000 and 750,000 words. All right, so I came up with this statistic, so this will impress you. According to researchers, each person will open their mouth 700 times a day. So you're going to speak 700 times a day. All right. In those 700 times, you will use an average of 18,000 words. Those 18,000 words will translate into about 54 printed pages. That means that in 1 year, the average person will fill 66 books of 800 pages each. Each year, you write with your words 66 volumes that are larger than those of a Tom Clancy novel. I want you to imagine that if every word that you spoke in the last year were recorded, that there would be 66 books. What would we learn about you? Are you a person whose words are words of life, or are they words of death? And I would say for each one of us here, these are things we all have to work on, right? It is such a temptation to be careless with our words. Once again, Jesus himself said, by your words you'll be condemned, and by your words justified. Another reason why words, not only the amount, but that we know that the power, the amazing power of words. You know, in my family, I mean, it's when we're going through difficult times, it'll be Sue and I together praying and saying, hey, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. There's no more important words to hear. We're going to make it. Words of encouragement. I was re-watching a documentary on the Civil War after that terrible battle of Gettysburg, and sometime later there was a memorial service, and then one of the speakers, a great orator and a pastor, he spoke for over two hours, right? And then President Lincoln would stand and his words would be 200 and some odd words. Took him a little over 2 minutes. There was some critic from Chicago paper that said it was like dishwater. He didn't like it much, you know. But the orator that spoke for 2 hours said this to Lincoln. He said, you know, you said more in 2 minutes than I said in 2 hours. And people will never forget what you said. Friends, it's not the number of our words. It's the ability to choose words that truly can inspire someone. There's not a lot of things I remember about high school other than the band and the track team, cross-country team, and some personalities of teachers. But I do remember Mrs. DeBose, my history teacher in a senior year, because we were supposed to memorize something. And I memorized The Fool's Prayer by Edward Sill. So I'm going to try to read it to you, see how much I remember. The royal feast was done. The king sought some new sport to banish care, and to his jester cried, Sir Fool, kneel now and make for us a prayer. The jester doffed his cap and bells and stood the mocking court before. They could not see the bitter smile behind the painted grin he wore. He bowed his head and bent his knee upon the monarch's silken stool. And his pleading voice arose, O Lord, be merciful to me, a fool. 'Tis not by guilt the onward sweep of truth and light, O Lord, we stay, but 'tis by our follies that so long we hold the earth from heaven away. These clumsy feet still in the mire go crushing blossoms without end. These hard, well-meaning hands we thrust upon the heartstrings of a friend. The ill-timed truths we might have kept, who knows how sharp they pierce and stung. The words we had not sense to say, who knows how grandly they would have rung. Our faults no tenderness should ask. These chastening stripes must cleanse them all. Before our blunders, oh, in shame, before the eyes of heaven we fall. Earth bears no balsam for mistakes. Men crowned the knave and scourged the tool that did his will. But thou, O Lord, be merciful to me, a fool. The room was hushed, and in silence rose the king and sought his garden's cool and walked apart and murmured low, be merciful to me, a fool. Why would that stick with me? Because right in the middle of it, there's something that comes right from the book of Proverbs. The ill-timed truths we might have kept. Who knows how sharp they pierce and stung. The words we had not sense to say. Who knows how grandly they would have rung. There's the sins of commission and the sins of omission with our words. Are there things that you regret that you've said to someone? I'm sure there is. But what about the words that you were supposed to say to encourage them, to keep them going? But you were too busy. Well, it's not your problem. My own sense is this, is that God has given us a voice, then let's use it. And if you're using it improperly, then confess it. So we want to look here briefly at the right uses of the tongue. The first one, the tongue can be used for wise counsel and sound advice. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. Proverbs 15:7, the lips of the wise spread forth knowledge. I praise God that I'm surrounded by people who can give me wise counsel. I have a wise wife. I have a wise father. I have wise staff. I have wise mentors that I call up. And I just pray that I would be worthy to be a person who's able to give wise counsel. But ultimately, it is wise counsel as that counsel is in line with the Word of God. And it's not just quoting Scripture to people, but it's granting them as they come, hey, wise counsel. The next thing it tells us, the tongue can be used for wise counsel or sound advice. Next, the tongue can be for speaking rebuke or reproof. Proverbs 17:10, a rebuke impresses a man with discernment more than 100 lashes. And it says in Proverbs 27:6, the wounds of a friend can be trusted, or faithful are the wounds of a friend. So here's the question I ask you. Do you have people, or do you allow people in your life who can speak truth to you, speak truth to power? Or do you surround yourself with yes men and yes women? Well, that's just weak. It's dangerous. You don't want to surround yourself with a bunch of critical people. Because, you know, I tell you right now, everyone look here, criticism is not a spiritual gift. I mean, I've looked everywhere. I mean, maybe in the devil's Bible, probably right up there on the top of the list. Yeah, be a critical spirit. Are you the kind of person that when you walk into a room, other people want to leave? You don't want to be that person. The tongue can speak rebuke and reproof. Next, the tongue can be used for encouragement. I wanted to focus my attention on that. I believe that in our homes, in our businesses, in our church, that we need to be people filled with encouraging words, all right? Where never is heard a discouraging word. Well, you're going to get discouraging words from the world all the time, but the encouragement, in fact, it's the very work of the Holy Spirit, is the work of encouragement. Are you helping other people along? Those of you who own businesses, sure, you're going to have to correct and guide. But let me encourage you. You got to be an encourager. Even if you're just looking for stuff. You know, hey, I appreciate you're on time. Maybe it was the only time they were on time. But, you know, you're building on something, you know. The fact is this, it is money in the bank because now they know that you care. Parents and grandparents, your children need encouragement. And they need encouragement because we live in a discouraging world. One of the other things about our tongue is used for witness. The lips of the righteous may, nourish many. Proverbs 10:21. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. I praise God for Refuge Camp. Because 40-some-odd years ago, I was one of those kids who was making a lot of bad decisions. And someone spoke the truth that Jesus Christ was God. He died on the cross for my sins and rose again. And that if I would find my life in Christ, I would find happiness. I would find joy. I'd find peace and forgiveness. So as a teenager, I gave my life to Christ, and I've never looked back. But someone brought the words of life. Friends, each one of us has the power to bring the words of life. I wanted to focus more on the positive than on the negative. Because if you want to read about the negatives, I mean, we're all experts in that, right? We write a book on it, right? What not to do with your tongue, according to whatever, you write your name down. Right? So here's some of them. First of all, the book of Proverbs says don't use flattery to get your way. It says don't be involved with quarreling. For a fool gives vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. It says do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one who's easily angered, or you may learn his ways and yourself be ensnared. So we realize this is that these, but I wanted to focus on one, and then I'm going to land the plane, and that is this: is the issue of the improper use of our tongue with gossip. That is spreading stuff about other people, and we can do it for very spiritual realm. I got this prayer request. Listen, you better make sure it's a prayer request and not gossip, because according to the book of Romans, chapter 1, it talks about people who had an image of God but did not serve God. And so God gave them over. All right? And he gave them over in verse 24 to lust and impurity. Secondly, verse 26, to degrading passions. Verse 28, to depraved minds. And you know what's on the list of the depraved mind? Gossip. It's an evidence that your mind is depraved. Wow. And it goes on, it brings forth death. I know it does. So the issue is this, is that we better be very careful about our words. And if you have something against someone else, don't make a little posse of people so that you can feel better about it. You go to that person individually or be quiet. That's how it's done. Why? Because it's in the book of Proverbs, right? 1887, the coffin of Abraham Lincoln was pried open. Why? Because the rumor spread around that his body wasn't in this coffin. This is 22 years after he died. Oh, there he is. Yeah, they closed him back up and buried him again. 14 years later, the rumor continued to go, and so they unburied him again. Because that's how it works. It's the conspiracy theories, this nut job stuff. You got to be careful about what you listen to. And so here's some things. I appreciate Alan Redpath, that great man of God, wrote a book called The Passion for Preaching. And he used the word think. That's what my mom, Gary, think before you talk. So here's an acrostic for think. First, think, is it true? Next, is it helpful what I'm going to share? Next, is it inspiring? Next, is it necessary? And lastly, is it kind? Think. All right? And so, The solution to it is just to say, hey, I'm not going to repeat anything. I'm not going to receive something. If someone tries to say something to you, don't receive it. You know, shut them down. Don't be the conduit of it. Because it's destructive. So quickly, here's some things, how to tame the tongue. First of all, we've got to admit we have a problem. We all have a problem. It tells us in James we all have a problem. So here's what you do. You have to go to God and say, God, please help me. All right? Confess our sins. Oh, Lord, I confess. I've not been wise with my tongue. Please help me. Next, memorize James chapter 1, verse 9. Let every person be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Say that with me. Let every person... No, here we go. Say this after me. Let every person be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Just memorize it. Okay? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. All right? Next, study the book of Proverbs and say, okay, I'm going to underline every verse that has to do with the tongue. If you do that and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do that. Then abide by Ephesians chapter 4. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, doing all you can do to maintain the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. Do that. All right. Closing. I literally found this example all over the world in different cultures. So I'm not really sure where it first came from, but I'll share it. So I found it in China, Middle East, and in the Middle Ages here. So I'll pick the one in the Middle Ages. So the woman goes, and she's a gossip, and she's trying to not be a gossip. So she goes to her rabbi. All right. He says, Rabbi, what do I do? They say I'm a gossip. I don't think it's that big of a deal. He goes, oh, okay. Here's what you do. Go home, get one of your pillows. Okay. Bring it to the center of town, and take a knife and slash open your pillows and throw them up in the air. And then come back and see me. I go, okay. Comes back. Then the rabbi says, okay, now go back and collect all the feathers. That's the power of gossip. Friends, don't gossip. Don't spread malicious things. If you're not part of the solution, you have no business passing it on. And if you passed it on, the Bible says it's a degrading mind. That's pretty strong stuff. But I'm just saying, I've seen it destroy churches. I've seen it destroy families, businesses. So anyway, here's what I desire and what the Bible desires, that our words would be words of life. When I was a kid, there was a song by Sonny Salisbury. I mean, this is when I'm meeting with hippie folk in Philo, you know, before I was a Christian. And they're singing around the campfires this song. It says, don't you wonder why the stars are in the sky? They're telling you and I of the glory of God. And every towering tree is there for folks to see. So there's no doubt can be of the glory of God. And then these words. So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart do the same thing for thee, and the witness be to the glory of God. So we're going to sing this. I don't have a guitar. What? Oh, really? All right. I feel like Buddy Holly now. Is it on? Oh, geez. All right, stand up. We're going to sing this song. Okay, so let the words of my mouth. Right here? So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart do the same thing for thee, and the witness be to the glory of God, to the glory of God. Keep it going. To the glory of God. One more time. To the glory of God. Let the words of my mouth and the testimonies of my heart Be acceptable unto thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's another good one to memorize. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your patience with us. We know this. Every word that came out of your mouth was a word of life, a word of truth. Help us, Lord, to learn and grow. We know that we can change this world by being people filled with words of life. Grant us wisdom and growth in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.